And in today's metal prices, that would be 10% copper equivalent that they pulled out. There's a polymetallic mine with silver, gold, lead, zinc, and copper. But if you convert that into a copper equivalent, it'd be 10%. And if you converted that into aggregate dollars, in today's dollars at today's prices, they pulled out $20 billion of metal out of the ground in production here. We have a 26 million ton resource that we believe we can grow through smart exploration. But this isn't a greenfield, hoping we can find a few million tons to demonstrate that we have a shot at a mine. We already have the foundational layer, and now it's about building incrementally on that, finding higher grade material and showing that we can grow from 26 million tons to, 50 million tons. Equinox just discovered, permitted, developed, and is now operating the East Coast of Canada's newest gold mine that's going to produce, give or take, 200,000 ounces in an extraordinarily short time frame without many surprises along the way. So the permitting is excellent. The second element is accessibility.
Good day, everybody. It's just Steve Yang here, Natural Resource Stocks, where we mine for stories that matter. And today I'm with Andrew Farncombe, Chairman and Director of Kantera Minerals. How are you, Andrew?
I'm fantastic. Coming to you from Toronto, really excited to talk about the Kantera story and more importantly, see you down in Atlanta in a few weeks.
Yeah, we're excited to see you. Absolutely. So, Andrew, there's lots to like, but for our listeners, if we can start with your website, your ticker, where you're trading.
So very simple. Company's name is Kantera Minerals. Website is www.kantera, C-A-N-T-E-R-R-A, minerals.com. We're trading around 17 cents Canadian, with around 380 million shares outstanding. And that equates to around a $70 million market capitalization in Canadian dollars. But I understand probably most of your followers are thinking US dollars. So we're around a $50 million market cap company listed on the TSXV here in Toronto.
Awesome. Well, Andrew, tell us about the story. What's the story all about?
I'm a co-founder of the company, and you get a little bit better at this every time you set out to put a company together, acquire land, bring the right people together, and ideally discover a mine. And I think this is probably one of the most straightforward stories around in one of the best jurisdictions with multiple shots on goal. So multiple ways that I think this is going to significantly increase in value as we execute on our plan. So like first and foremost, we'll talk about table stakes. You want to be in a jurisdiction where you can do business. You know that you're going to own your asset when you go down the road, and you know that you can get permits and you can execute. And Newfoundland, Canada, Newfoundland's on the east coast of Canada. And this is a province of Canada that's been highly supportive of the extractive industries. So this is a province that wants the jobs, that wants the development, has a history of mining. In fact, our story is one of the most prolific, or our project sits on one of the most prolific past producing mines in the east coast of Canada. So the mine was called the Buchans Mine. And there's an old adage, they say the best place to find a mine is in the shadow of a head frame. And I have actually a photo, if you'll oblige, that I'd like to share of the head frame in our property, just to really give folks a sense for what we're talking about here. So as you can see on the screen here, this is the Buchans project and the past producing Buchans mine. And that metal structure is called a headframe. And so that's where they pulled the ore out of the ground up until kind of mid to late 80s. And it was operated by a company called Asarco. But just to give you a sense of how prolific this mine is, they pulled out 16 million tons out of the ground. And in today's metal prices, that would be 10% copper equivalent that they pulled out. It's a polymetallic mine with silver, gold, lead, zinc, and copper. But if you convert that into a copper equivalent, it'd be 10%. And if you converted that into aggregate dollars, in today's dollars at today's prices, they pulled out $20 billion of metal out of the ground in production here. And the thing about Mother Nature is it doesn't, you know, deposit one of these deposits and then stop most often. You know, usually there's additional deposits to be found in proximity to past producing mines. And that's very much what we're about. We're searching in the shadow of the headframe with an existing resource that I call it kind of underpins the base value here. We have a 26 million ton resource that we believe we can grow through smart exploration. But, you know, this isn't a greenfield, you know, hoping we can find a few million tons to demonstrate that we have a shot at a mine. We already have the foundational layer. And now it's about building incrementally on that, finding higher grade material and showing that we can grow from 26 million tons to, you know, 50 million tons, which is where there's a lot of interesting comps out there today. Like if we look at a comparable, I should say, if we look at, you know, Foran being acquired by Eldorado, that'd be just shy of a 50 million ton polymetallic mine. It was just sold for $3.8 billion. Now, each mine is, or each deposit is very different. But, you know, on a gross tonnage basis, right now, we're about half of the way that Foran is today, subject to an Eldorado takeout at $3.8 billion.
Wow. So, Angie, first of all, we talked about Newfoundland, and you talked about the, you know, it seems to be a very favorable jurisdiction where everything is fast tracked. Is there any hurdle there, or is that pretty much a slam dunk there?
I mean, there's nothing in this world and nothing in this business that's a slam dunk. what I'd say is you got numbers on your side, or you got the momentum on your side. So really, to simplify Newfoundland, the permitting timeframes are extremely compressed. So it's very easy to get permits to execute on exploration. Obviously, when you're building a mine, that's a much more involved process. But we have, you know, case in point, a stone's throw away from us, Equinox just discovered, permitted, developed, and is now operating the East Coast of Canada's newest gold mine that's going to produce, give or take, 200,000 ounces in an extraordinarily short time frame without many surprises along the way. So the permitting is excellent. The second element is accessibility. You know, in terms of accessibility, our projects are accessible 12 months of the year, accessible via road. There's international airports, you know, that are a short drive away. We have grid electricity that we can tie into when the time is right. So, you know, the infrastructure in this area is extraordinary. The government and the local community, as I said, you know, there's been a lot of affluence in Newfoundland that has come from mining, forestry, oil and gas, and fishery. You know, so this is a community and a government that understands the importance of the extractive industries. something that very much the whole world's waking up to today in this world where we're really focused on security of North American supply chain. So this is a great jurisdiction to do business. It's as good as it gets. You know, I look at some of these companies with, you know, amazing projects, but are, you know, helicopter accessible, which just adds a whole nother layer of costs, and it becomes just more complicated to operate. So taking that off the table and having a road you can drive right up to the project just is, you know, it's one barrier that is removed or it's significantly diminished.
Andrew, can you tell me who else is in the area? And I know you mentioned a company at the Equinox. If you can tell us kind of like,
what I'll do is I'll just pull up one quick slide.
Yeah, please.
If that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
So you should be able to see a slide that says investment highlights. And what you can see on the map on the right-hand side here shows the Cantera ground, which is in blue. So that's the past producing Buchans mine. And then we have several other projects just south of the past producing Buchans mine that also contain resources. And then we have the Wild and Gold project, which is a whole other element to this story. So when I said multiple shots on goal, we can talk about that gold element a bit later. But what I wanted to focus on here is who else is in the district. So we have Equinox's Valentine mine down here. You can see our gold projects tied directly on to that project and are interpreted to have a lot of the similar structure that we see on the Valentine mine's property. And then further up, you have the Duck Pond mine, which is a past producing mine. It's now been reclaimed, but that was operated by Teck Resources, you know, one of the world's leading base metal mining companies. So in the direct vicinity, you know, we have several mining companies. And then further afield, you know, you have Firefly Metals, which is very active on the island, has a 60 million ton resource. So remember, we were talking about Cantera just north of 25 million tons today. So over double our resource further north on the island. But we're talking about a company that has a $1.3 billion market cap, give or take. So a lot of success on the island, a lot of investment, and a lot of mines in the area and further afield.
And what's your market cap, and what can you tell me about maybe where you guys are valued in relation to your peers there?
So, you know, obviously we think we're cheap, as every good CEO would say, and I'll articulate why I think we're cheap. So we're a $50 million US dollar market cap today. You know, you have peers I just referenced, you know, different but similar stories. You know, Foran Mining being taken out north of $3 billion, Firefly north of $1 billion. So a lot of good comps, and I can continue, that support higher values. So what do we have to do to achieve that? Continue demonstrating that the 26 million tons form an economic basis for a brownfield mine operation, which we're busy doing with working with engineering firms and consultants, helping establish, you know, what the key economic parameters would be as we move this project forward. So that's number one, really make sure the market understands that we have a very strong base for value from where we are. And then from there, we need to show the market that we can grow that resource. You know, we believe that the drilling we've done, we continue each year, we continue to have more aggressive exploration programs. Like this year, we're going to drill likely 15,000 meters of drilling. When you add that up, that's probably more drilling than we've done collectively over a five-year period. So the pace of discovery should increase. But to date, since we've acquired and consolidated this entire district, You know, we believe that we've demonstrated there's additional tons that we've discovered beyond that 26 million ton. So we're busy doing internal engineering work, looking at the impact of those and looking at what it would take to get those into a resource update, which is great. Great in terms of value creation beyond the 26 million tons. The final element, which is the most exciting part, is really what I'd say is doing good science, doing the first principle work, doing the complicated geophysical analysis, trying to identify where these other pods of mineralization are on the project. And we've laid the foundation for that, and we're aggressively exploring that across our property portfolio. And so you'll continue to see, you know, we have at least, call it 8 drill holes that we're going to be announcing from our winter program. And so those will be coming out in the next 2 months or so, really focused on that Buchan, that core Buchan's area where you saw that head frame. And then we will be mobilizing our summer drill program, you know, July, August. And that's going to be focused on following up on targets that we've already explored, including Clementine in the 2 level, which really are right beside a pit constrained resource we already have. And then the other element is all these other deposits that have seen very little work that deserve additional drilling. We'll get back and start demonstrating that those could form a basis of a satellite deposit to support mining operations there. And then finally, you know, it is sometimes difficult to tell this element of the story because people say, is this a copper story or is this a gold story? And we have both in the company. And so we're predominantly focused on the copper picture. Having said that, we showed you the ground, the Wilding Gold Project that ties directly onto Equinox. And that is a gold project, first and foremost. And so this winter, we have been busy doing something that they do in Finland, where they sample on a grid basis the bedrock to identify where the gold zones are. And so we've been busy doing that, which will set the foundation for the more typical diamond drilling, which we can hopefully drill gold results and demonstrate that the veins we have on the project are similar to what you see on Equinox. You know, having a mine that's going to be hungry for feed for many years, I believe Equinox has a 14-year mine life now, you know, but as production continues, we hope to demonstrate to our neighbors that we have a key piece of this land package by hosting gold resources there. So that's another element that I think will continue to support value in this story going forward.
So when it comes to copper and gold, are you can you tell me a little bit more about the grade as well as the volume you think you have?
So, you know, on a combined, so right now on a combined basis across all of our deposits, but it's predominantly anchored by Lundberg, we have around 24 million tons in measured and indicated. Which is the 2 highest confidence categories of resources. And those have significant drill density. So, you know, this is a well-delineated resource to date. And so we have, call it 23 million tons in that M&I category, around 2.4% copper equivalent. So that's really the copper story. The gold story is pre-resource stage. So it's an earlier stage in the resource discovery, you know, trajectory. But, you know, we recently drilled 32 meters at the Elm vein over 11 grams per ton. So that's like a very significant gold intercept. The question we have and what we have to demonstrate to the market is that we can repeat that and we can show that this actually, when you put all these drill results together, that there's some continuity and we could start putting our fingers to a potential resource. But the gold is a bit earlier stage. but it's yielded some promising high grade hits as well as some lower grade bulk tonnage hits. So we're still, you know, is this going to be a lower grade bulk tonnage resource like Valentine, or could this be a narrower vein, higher grade resource? We're still doing that work, and it's very early innings on that one.
Great. Angie, let's go to the finances. If you can tell us what you have in the bank and how far that takes you.
So we have $7 million Canadian in the bank today. Our exploration program is fully financed for 2026. So that's at 15,000 meters that I've drilled. And that fully carries the company's G&A into 2026 and into 2027. So, you know, the plan in terms of accessing the market for capital would only be, you know, if we saw the opportunity to do so on very attractive terms, which means share price appreciation, or, you know, a very high quality investor that really is unable to buy in the market. But we have no imminent plans or needs to finance, and our working capital position is very strong.
Let's go to the number of shares. If you can give me the shares outstanding, fully diluted, as well as options and warrants.
Yes, I can give you that. So we are 387 million shares issued and outstanding. There's 29 million warrants outstanding. Many of those warrants are in the money. We have a bucket that will expire, I believe, in June. So that will continue strengthening the treasury and removing, you know, any potential overhang from the warrants on the market. And then we have, you forgive me, I don't exactly have the current options outstanding in front of me at the moment. So that all relates to a $70 million market cap Canadian, as I said, on the current share price today of around 17 cents a share Canadian.
Andrew, my understanding is that your two biggest shareholders are Eric Sprott and Michael Gentile. Is that correct?
Well, I'd say Michael, certainly. Eric is a large shareholder. I actually own more than probably Eric now. I'm around Mike's level as well. So Michael, myself, and Eric are some of the largest shareholders on the team.
And what percent would you say make up of institutions and insiders?
Institutions, I don't have a perfect number. That, like, if we include retail high net worth and institutional, we're probably around 75% would be that.
Okay.
I would guess we'd probably be 25% institutional, 50% retail, with the remainder made up with management board, Eric, Michael, and myself.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to meeting you guys in Atlanta. Michael Gentile is going to be there, as you know. And I think Andy spoke with Michael this morning. And I'm looking to look forward to speaking with Michael as well about your company. You know, he's a big shareholder. If I were to ask him, you know, what drew you to you guys? Like, what's the things that he's most drawn to with you guys? Is it the shares?
I don't want to put words in Mike's mouth. I've worked closely with Michael at Northern Superior, which we just sold. I was one of the longest standing board members there.
Okay.
So I got to know Mike quite well there. You know, and I think it's what any resource investor would say. So I wouldn't necessarily attribute this to Mike, but, you know, it's the right area code. It's the right location in that, you know, you can operate and you're beside a whole bunch of past producing mines. So that's number one. But that's only part of the formula. The next is you got to have a management team that's has the experience, has the work ethic, and has the credibility and the ethics, you know, to deliver on what they say. And I think we certainly have that on our team. And then finally, you know, the right commodities. I mean, we have copper and gold. I think two of the most exciting commodities, you know, to be in. And, you know, they don't necessarily move in lockstep. So sometimes they counterbalance each other, and we have both of those. So I think those would be the three key things: area code, people, and commodities.
Andrew, the one we haven't talked too much about is the people, your team. If you can just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, kind of your background, the experience you bring, as well as the people you have around you.
Absolutely. You don't mind me. I'll just put a quick slide. Can you see our management and board of directors up here?
Not yet, but.
Oh, sorry. Right here. Very quickly. So it should be up on the screen now for you.
Yes, we see it.
Okay, so great. So very quickly, Chris Penapied is, I call Chris my partner. He's a CEO. He's a director of the company. Chris has considerable experience, you know, advancing projects from early stage exploration to resource to development. Chris has a huge network and is able to draw some of the best in the world to our project. And, you know, has an incredible work ethic. So Chris is key here and a linchpin that brings everything together. The next thing I'll touch on really quickly is Paul Moore, Dave Butler. And Paul and Dave have been involved in this district for almost 30 years. It's a huge institutional knowledge around, you know, the structure, the setting, what works, what doesn't. You know, so these guys are absolutely critical to execution on the ground. You know, I think the next individual I'll touch on is Nick Coleman. Nick Coleman's a Newfoundland native. So it's not just a bunch of foreigners from outside of the province who are exploring here. This is, you know, a company with Newfoundland in its DNA. And then finally, Joanne Carney, Josh Surface, and Matt are all very successful mining entrepreneurs in their own right. But what I really touch on Matt's the most recent director addition. Matt is currently president and CEO of Radisson Resources, which you may be familiar with, Quebec focused gold explorer developer. But more interestingly, he was the former president and CEO of Marathon Gold, which is the predecessor to Equinox in some respects, or at least it was the company that was ultimately acquired by Equinox, which held the Valentine Lake mine. So if, you know, if someone knows the rocks in this district and what works and doesn't, you know, Matt is the man, having carried Valentine along a significant portion of its development trajectory. So Matt, really excited to have him on the board. He'll be a real value add.
Andrew, can you tell us a little bit about your background as well as how people can follow your story? And if you can give your website and ticker one more time.
Yeah, absolutely. So my background, mining entrepreneur, former investment banker. I've been out on my own for almost 12 years. Been involved in founding and, you know, advancing numerous resource companies. So I'll name a few because I think track record speaks volumes. So most recently, Northern Superior and its sale to IAM Gold. So that was a 10 years of work with me, almost 10 years of work with me on the board, playing a critical role. And, you know, nothing there is a, you know, nothing in this industry is a straight line from point A to B. There was quite a few pivots along the way, refocused that company on Chibougamau, Quebec, and took it to a successful exit to IAM Gold at the end of last year. Worked very closely with Mike Gentile on that. Co-founder of Contact Gold. We sold Contact to Orla Mining. Unfortunately, a bit early in the cycle. So gold had not started performing quite as well as it is today. But again, the thesis was absolutely correct. You know, we took a project in a good jurisdiction, did some good technical work, advanced it, and sold it on to a major mining company. And I think that will at some point be part of their development at the railroad project. Group 11 Resources, I'm no longer active in that, but certainly proud in the work I did with Bart as a co-founder of that company when we put together a really exciting Irish zinc and copper company, which has recently had considerable success. No longer actively involved other than supportive shareholder. So really mining entrepreneur, and really like to invest and help take these companies from concept to mine or to sale to a larger company. Company is Cantera Minerals. Ticker is CTM on the TSXV. A website is canteraminerals.com.
And how do people reach out to you with questions if they want to follow up?
You can simply Google my name, and I think you will find my contact information pretty easily. I am very happy to get emails at my last name, Farncombe, at CAIRNMP.com. Or simply reach out to info@CanteraMinerals, which is on our website, and that'll be passed along to me as well. Very happy to have any conversations with any prospective investors. Really enjoy that element of the job.
Well, Andrew, thank you for sharing your story. For our listeners, I am currently not an investor in Cantera Minerals. Cantera is coming to the Atlanta conference, but has not paid for this interview. Please do your due diligence. I'm not giving investment advice. One of the ways you can do that is to reach out to Andrew, check out their ticker, follow their story, to subscribe to their website and their socials. So I'll put those in the show notes. Thank you, Andrew, for being here. For everyone listening, stay smart, stay curious, stay disciplined. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Steve.